Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. Coming up this week, constitutional crises, that's easy for me to say, hover carts, and a load of tossers in Mackled. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines this week and our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound's Jess Ward.
Hiya.
And Sam Turton.
Hello.
And of course, the one, the only, Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
Would you like to give you a bit more of an introduction this week? I'm just trying to keep it fresh.
Okay, cool.
I've watched a lot of Alan Partridge this week.
You're really taking inspiration from Alan.
Yeah. Alan is my go-to man.
Is it worth saying that's crises, not crises?
Well, you can point that out and be that guy if you want.
Okay.
How should I have said it?
Crises.
Crises, okay. Was it the Suez Crisis or the Suez Crises?
Well, Suez Crisis because it was a single event.
Was it one single event?
Well, yeah, that's why it's the Suez Canal Crisis.
There we go. Right. Every day's a school day, especially when Sam's about. How's this week been, Jess? You've actually been off. You're in and out.
Again, you know, just sacrificing some of my holiday time coming here. Dedication, as
always.
That
suggests you enjoy it.
I do, yeah. This is how I get my kicks every week.
Sam, good week?
Yeah, not too bad.
Not too bad.
Yeah, just apologies at the start because I'm absolutely full of cold at the minute, but yeah.
Good.
Oh, I've got that too.
And the fact that we're all in this close space, I'm sure we'll all have it by this time next week. So next week's podcast will be an absolute doozy.
Sharing is caring.
Katie, you good? You're off on your adventures again tonight, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to London for the weekend. I bought tickets from a dodgy website, so the name on them is Abraham Rosenberg. So we'll see if I can.
I have lots of questions, but not a lot of time to ask them.
No. I don't think you'd ever get the answers you wanted, to be honest.
I think I'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
Has anyone seen Neighbours this week?
No.
No, because none of you have watched it since about 2000. And...
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, it's not 1990.
Sonia died in Neighbours this week, so I've had a very tough week.
Is she related to Harold and Madge?
She goes out with Toadie.
Toadfish.
They're married. It was very sad. She had ovarian cancer. And yeah, she died this week. So I've had a bad week in that regard. I felt well because I went on social media, as you do these days, putting the hashtag neighbours and Sonia's dead, or whatever it was. And, you know, there's lots of people outpouring of grief.
Yeah. So it's affected a lot of people.
Yeah. So, well, what's the big soap in New Zealand, obviously?
Shortland Street. Oh, you've watched it.
Yeah.
I bet that's nowhere near as good as Neighbours, is it?
I don't think so, no. But yeah. Us Kiwis are pretty proud of it.
Don't they call it Shorty Street?
I think so. Yeah. Oh, that sounds awful, actually.
Do you have a favourite soap, Sam? You watch with the cat, maybe?
I suppose maybe, like... I watch EastEnders sometimes, but not often.
It's very depressing, EastEnders. At least Neighbours is depressing, but in the sunshine.
It's on at the same time as Channel 4 News most of the time, so, you know.
I'd actually successfully kicked my Neighbours habit until this week, so I've had a bit of a relapse, so we'll see how, what happens. I've been timing my lunches for 1:45, which, you know, you may notice. Right, it's International Women's Day today, isn't it, Katie?
It is, yeah. So we've been celebrating this week at Isle of Man Newspapers how great women are.
As we do every week.
Yep, but we especially went, you know, full on this week, and we actually made a 16-page woman supplement with the extra N. Wasn't a spelling error. So it was out in the Examiner this week, which you might have seen. But if you haven't, you can go to www.iomtoday.co.im. And if you click on Digital Editions, you can access the woman supplement.
My third favourite tab on our website, that Digital Editions.
Only
third. Yeah. Well, Max Football Podcast.
Well, maybe it's going to go up to second now, because if you can get great content like the Woman Supplement.
You get Today's Courier as well on there, can't you?
Can get the Courier for free on there as well.
But yes, it's very nice. It's
It looks great.
Producer Emma put a lot of hard work into that.
She really did.
And it looks very good, along with the rest of the production team. And it's interviews some very well-known women within the
From very well-known Manx businesses, and it's interesting to see their views on equality in the workplace and what Manx businesses do to support gender equality, and it's really good read.
Yes, including and of our very own deputy editor Jackie Turley.
She is, isn't it?
Looking like a power woman.
Yeah. Did you see the power woman?
The picture I accidentally stumbled across the photo shoot.
No.
It's where we were. Dave was our photographer was taking the pictures of Jackie for this supplement, and I accidentally stumbled across it. I was walking out the door as I went home, and there's pictures of me looking very scared. But They didn't use them in the supplement, so, but it's worth a look if you get a chance. We can maybe put them up on our various social media at IOM News Podcast, isn't it? I think.
Yeah.
Then we can you can laugh at me looking scared. Right, to quote sometime rapper Dizzy Rascal, fix up, look sharp, for it's time to look back at some of this news stories that have caught our eyes this week. Kicking off with, I think, was one of the best pictures this week, and that was in this week's Indie Jess, and it was a picture of the Southern Swimming Pool filled with everyone's recycling bins.
Pretty much.
Well, not just the bins, the contents of the bins.
The contents. Yeah. Obviously, they were cleaned before they went in.
You'd hope.
Yeah. So, it was the Southern Swimming Pool. They decided to team up with Beach Buddies to give a more visual, initiative to people who want to donate towards the charity and to kind of help them clean up the beaches. I mean, they've been doing lots of stuff. They decontaminated. I can never say that word right. Decontaminated? Yeah, that's it. Plastic.
Single, crises?
Yeah, it's one of those. Single-use plastic bottles, like food wrappers, all sorts. Some of the photos are amazing. I don't know if you saw, there was one bloke, he was doing lengths of the pool, and he was just going for it, and he was popping up, and there was bubble wrap all over his head. It was amazing. But I spoke to Ellis Hartley, who was the assistant manager who came up with the idea. So there's more on page 11 in the Indie, but she basically said, you know, the people who usually go, they said it was actually really difficult to see, and they kept bumping into things and people. So, yeah.
So for those of you who haven't picked up an Indie, I will try and explain it to you. It's like people, they dumped a load of plastic in the swimming pool and then said, people, just crack on, have your normal swim. It was meant to be a representation of what it's like for marine life, isn't it, at the moment? And as you say, a lot of people end up with bubble wrap and all milk sorts. Cartons and stuff banging off their head.
Yeah.
But there is, it raised 113 quid for Peach Buddies, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right, it did. And they're continuing to do more fundraisings for the charity, but in different ways. You think about marine animals and how they're getting trapped in bottles and, you know, beer, six-pack beer
rings.
Pulls,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of to highlight that. And they were saying, you know, it's all well and good telling children in school, you know, this is the issue and this is what's happening. But actually being able to experience it themselves is a whole different meaning.
Yeah.
So those sessions were free to them. They could go and have a little swim.
And they could then donate after to the charity. Sam, talking of crises. We had a constitutional one this week, or we nearly did, didn't we? But it was averted.
Well, to quote the greatest boy band in history, Scouting for Girls, it was like Christmas come early for the political nerds such as himself. You had Labour MP Dame Margaret Hodge and Tory MP Andrew Mitchell, famous for Plebgate, going back a little bit of time.
My third favourite gate.
Mm. Well, the best part was, it was the first gate which actually featured a gate.
Oh, genuinely.
So technically, it was Plebgate.
Plebgate.
Yeah, but anyway.
That pumps it up to two.
So anyway, they wanted to seek an amendment to the Financial Services Bill, which would have created a public register for beneficial ownership for the Crown Dependencies, so ourselves, Jersey and Guernsey. So on Sunday night this past week, Howard Quayle flew down to London and he issued a joint statement with the heads of government of Jersey and Guernsey to oppose the what they called unconstitutional efforts to create our laws. They pointed out that no EU government has this, except for the UK actually, but they have a very interesting thing where The Guardian did a big piece this week where if you go through it, people like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck are officially heads of businesses.
You're joking.
No, they're registered as, because you can put it as anything. This bill coming under the coalition government originally, and The Mirror did a piece at the time where they registered a company under the name of Vince Cable, who was at the time the business secretary.
Mm-hmm.
They registered a company under his name and got a bank account for that company under his name.
But without his knowledge.
Yeah, that's just to prove how easy it was to completely subvert this whole system. And they want us to have this system.
So, just getting back to Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, are they owners of Disney or
no? It was finance businesses. It was
they've branched out.
Yeah. So it was to prove the point about what
anyone could do it
can do it, and it's very easy to go around it. So what you've got at the minute is that this is actually bigger than us. In essence, it's a big deal for us because it is the UK trying to legislate for us. But it's a bigger deal than that in terms of what this actually means for Brexit and the Isle of Man as well. I'll try not to bore you too much, right? But this is one of six bills that the government has to pass by March 29th in the event of a no-deal Brexit. Otherwise, Brexit cannot happen on that date. And this was actually, it was the first of them bills, and now it hasn't gone. It's very unlikely to happen because of the timetabling.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the government don't want to have this beneficial. They don't want to be seen to be legislating because it'll be the Commons legislating for us, not the government. So it throws up all sorts of different arguments which we're trapped in the middle of. So it will be back as an argument, and I can see them doing it to us. I don't know. I think they are right. They shouldn't be able to legislate for us, and I think it will lead to bigger problems than just create beneficial ownership. I think it will lead to problems in terms of governments and the Crown Dependencies examining their relationship with the United Kingdom a lot more closely.
So if people want to read more about that, it's on in the Examiner and in the Independent.
Yes, it was in the Examiner and the Independent, along with our half-term report of Howard Quayle.
Yes, I saw this, Adrian's piece.
Yeah.
What if people, you know, what's the gist? How would you whet their appetite for this one?
Well, we're 2.5 years in to what, who knows, maybe the first 5 years of Howard Quayle's administration. Mm-hmm. We don't know. And Adrian points out that they started off with they reintroduced free TV licences for over 75s, which had been scrapped previously. But when you look at the three big elements that this government will be looked back upon, it'll be the nationalisation of the steam packet, Brexit, which is realistically beyond our control, and the other big thing, of course, is the abortion bill, but that was actually a private member's bill. The other thing you've got is Manx Gas, which I suppose you got them the credit of they really tried to do this because it was something they saw people weren't happy with and they felt that they weren't getting the right deal. So they sought to change that, but it looks like, depending on what happens, people could end up being charged more now under the new system, depending on what happens with Manx Gas.
Yeah.
So I suppose the way to look at it is a government of good intention.
Well, if you want to read about that, that's in the Independent, is it? No, in the Examiner or the Independent?
That was in the Examiner.
In the Examiner, so buy both, just cover your bases.
Yeah.
It's only £2, isn't it? Keep a journalist in a job.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Changing pace, Sam. We move from politics to go-karting, well, sort of. Maybe needs a bit more explanation.
At Hovercart, least a lot more explanation.
Hovercart City getting planning permission this week.
Yep, Hovercart City is going to be built down in the Balfane Industrial Estate there, down in Balasala.
My third favourite industrial estate in Balasala.
Anyway, and it's...
What is it? Like, what is it?
Right, so have you seen hoverboards?
But we've,
as in, right, we've,
no, but yeah. We've discussed this the other day, because you said... Hoverboards have wheels, and maybe it's with me and producer Emma thought it's because we're too old to get this. So we're like, no, hoverboards hover, yeah, like Marty McFly. And I referenced that, and then you called me old.
That's oh, hoverboards, ageism. Right? Everybody is.
Yeah. Hoverboards, are they like the little Segway ones?
They're like a skateboard, but the wheels are on the side, and you know, you lean forward and back.
Oh, the one that's like, if you go on any form of social media, there's about 3 videos of elderly people using them and putting themselves over a wall. And stuff,
yeah,
like that. Yeah.
Well, like Mike Tyson breaking his back when he used one, sort of stuff.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So yeah, so what you get with these is they're different entirely. They're a lot safer than the ones that you stand up on, and they're actually, most impressive about this is they're completely disabled accessible.
Right.
So it opens up to that sort of element as well. Yeah. So. Basically, like, you sit in it, and you have the two handles at the side, which, like, you drive, you push to go forward, and you lean forward, and you use them to turn.
So there's no steering wheel.
There's no steering wheel, but it's like, I suppose it's like skiing in a way. Maybe
this is a lovely visual.
And so,
you look very like Eddie the Eagle Edwards at the moment.
So yeah, so you sort of go along like that.
They should use you in the promotional material for this.
Yeah, but anyway, I think this is really cool. Right?
Yeah, it does.
We always
cool.
say, I mean, I grew up in that age where, I mean, you're a bit old, right? Right, be funny, you're a bit older than me, right? You had the days of the crescent. You had the days of the crescent.
Crescent.
The crescent.
Oh, yeah. Right? The heady days. Yeah.
So, you know, but.
Summerland.
The leisure in town.
Summerland, yeah.
Summerland.
I grew up in the days of the leisure was the last one going, and that's been gone now a few years, fair number of years.
Top man now. Top
man. And so, really, for that age group that I was in at the time when that closed, there was that little bit lacking, I think. Anything like this is fantastic, it's something different, and it's...
It does look cool. There's pictures in the paper this week in the Indy of what the track's going to look like.
What kind of speeds do you reach? Oh, you on a track?
Yeah, it's on a track. It's like
you're racing, it's like go-kart.
So okay, it's like
what
go-kart.
What speeds can you reach on it?
They're slower than go-karts.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can get a decent bit of a whack on it.
For kids and adults.
It will be for adults as well, yeah. That's the other really interesting bit.
I was impressed by how quickly they're going to turn it around, because they hope to be open for end of April, beginning of May, don't they?
Yeah, well, like the two gentlemen who are doing it, they're both quite experienced in constructing and how things can be done. And they've got solid plans. And to be honest with you, when I first read the planning application, because I do the NIBS each week and the examiner, I looked at it and went, this is either going to be a really great idea or a really mental idea.
Yeah.
And then the longer it's gone on, I spoke to the guys involved with it, and you can see more about this in the papers this week, and I looked at it and went, actually a genius idea.
Yeah.
Like, I really do think it is genius.
So can we expect a feature with yourself going down when it's all built?
I can well imagine there'll be yet more pictures for the people of the Ironman to enjoy of me in interesting situations.
We'll look forward to that. So, Jess, we sort of hot skip and possibly jump from one sort of sports story to another sort of sports story. And you have been getting your mackled on this week, haven't you?
I have. I've been to the north of Ireland, somewhere that I don't often go to.
Heinously, you should be getting there often.
I think so, yeah. Mm. There's a lot up there.
North east, yeah.
It's down. You go down north, I've told you this.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, yeah. He always tells me off in the office, actually, about that.
So what were you doing in Mackled this week, apart from admiring the views?
Well, this week I went down and I did a pancake day race.
Yeah, traditional.
Yeah, a traditional one.
Mm-hmm.
I've never partaken in such a traditional race before. I didn't realise there was such a thing. So this was at the Mackled Church Hall, and it's run by the Parish Social Club there. Yeah, so basically what I had to do, because I took part in the adult race, because you've got like, little kids.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so cute. And you have a frying pan, which I went down and got in Tesco
day. Do you have like a set standard frying pan you have to use to make it there?
No, it's all go. I mean, I think you've got to kind of really put a lot of thought into your frying pan. I mean, it's got to be lightweight.
Mm.
It's got to have a good surface area for, you know, when you flip your pancake and you've got to catch it again. Can't be too small. Yeah, I think those are the two main...
I have lots of questions.
Because I think you're already setting people into different categories, yet you have a... It's all open. Yeah, exactly.
If you've got a Teflon pan, non-stick, it's going to have better aerodynamics, isn't it? That's what I'm
thinking.
That's
very true. Yep.
So when you're tossing, how many do you have to toss on the way down? Or is it just toss once and run? You know, how long's the track first?
The track, I would say, is roughly maybe 100 metres, I'm guessing. I don't really know. It's not very far.
Okay.
You do go up a bit of a hill, but that's okay.
Nice hilltop finish.
Yeah, right? You've got
sting
to push
in the
it
tail.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It depends on your age. So the kids, I think they just flip once they get to the end. But you basically run.
So you run and then toss.
And then you flip.
Yeah.
But for us adults, we had to run and then there were marshals along the way. And once you reached one of the marshals, you had to flip it three times.
Three times?
Yeah.
Well, flipping it.
It was a challenge.
So you had to stop to flip. You weren't...
Yeah, you had to stop.
Hurrying on.
Stop and go.
Although,
nice.
I suspect there was a lot of cheating going on.
I
mean, I stuck to the rules because,
that's
I'm
you.
A good two-shoes.
Yeah.
You run up, toss it three times, next one, three times, and then straight to the finish line.
And what happens if you get a bit excited with your tossing and it comes out the pan?
You literally just pick it off the ground.
Right.
You toss it back in.
Yeah.
And then, you keep going.
So where did you finish?
I got third.
Ooh, well done.
Yeah, I mean,
out of how many?
There's room for improvement, obviously.
But how many were in it?
Three.
Yeah. No,
you should get really competitive.
I do. I'd say probably about 10 of us, I'd say.
Wow.
Yeah.
Most
I was up against.
Did you beat the Garth MHKs?
I did. So I was up against Daphne Kane and Martin Perkins.
Okay. I'm resisting a joke there, but if you're
going. There's a lot of chances there.
Yeah.
And also the head teacher of Doon and Laxey School, Max Kelly.
Okay, yeah.
So, and a policewoman, I don't know her name.
So did you beat all them?
I don't think I bet the head teacher, I'm not sure about the policewoman.
Oh,
I know.
Come on, Jess. You're representing all our newspapers and the podcast.
It's just so much pressure, you know.
Yeah.
But, it was really good. I spoke to Martin Perkins afterwards, and he regrets wearing his work shoes. I think he'd come out straight after the office. Yep.
Schoolboy.
So that was his first one. He's going to do it next year, he said.
Bit of training?
Yeah.
You were actually in your gym things, weren't you?
I was because I had netball straight after.
Oh, right.
But
okay.
I looked super keen.
I thought you were just really prepared.
No. Did you do any training for this? Do they provide you with the pancakes?
They do. So they create all the pancakes and then hand them out. Mm. And then you chuck those away there was a dog there that was eating them. So... You could feed the dog.
I think we should start a social media campaign, which is where everyone starts their campaign these days, on trying to get this in the Olympics.
I think that's a really good idea. Yeah.
Pancake.
It's a flipping good idea, that.
Flipping good idea. Lovely pun. Talking of pancake days, favourite pancakes. One of my friends is a very lemon and sugar only. That's the only thing he'll put on a pancake.
Oh, wow.
And
like he's proper classic.
Yeah, and he's a
so
bit
he's loyal.
Yeah, and if anyone goes any do he hate that's them off his Christmas card list.
Wow.
Basically. So Katie, what's your favourite topping?
I don't know. Are we going sweet pancakes, not savoury?
I'm no
because that's
do
like
what,
a whole
no,
new
do
world.
Do
as well.
What you want. You
okay,
one
no,
of each.
I think I would go. If I was having sweet pancakes, I'd probably have vanilla ice cream.
Just yeah, a vanilla? Just vanilla. And would you have a savoury one first?
Or? It would have to have cheese in it, like a melty cheese, like a brie.
Well, brie.
Good work.
Interesting.
Very
yeah,
interesting. Yeah. Samuel?
Duck.
Duck
pancakes.
So sort of like a Chinese fusion crossover. Yeah. Duck pancakes. I see
yeah,
what you've done
good,
there.
Actually. Yeah.
I had a bacon one this week, and then I had peanut butter for my dessert.
What? Peanut butter? Oh, I thought you said pink butter.
Pink butter, yes.
Like pink lemonade and...
Peanut butter. Suggested, you know, obviously after you scraped it off the floor, I take
yeah,
it, you gave it to the dog.
Yeah, I just dusted it off
gave
and
it
then
the dog, no.
Put some golden syrup. I'm joking.
Golden yeah, syrup?
No, I don't know. I'm not actually a massive pancake fan.
Get out.
I'm sorry. I just had them a lot when I was a kid on weekends. And
so
it's just ruined
do
it for
do
me.
They have it in the colonies? Do you, in
they do,
Andy.
Yeah. We're not missing out.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I'd say, I don't know. I did once have bacon and maple syrup on a pancake once, and that was actually pretty nice.
Well, that's a very American standard
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Was that on like a crepe-style pancake, or was it like on the little American thick thing?
American.
I like a crepe.
I like a crepe.
Yeah, crepe. Oh, was it crepe? I'm not sure.
It really crepes me up.
Ah, with that sort of pun, you'll never be out of work, Samuel. Right, we get back into the Alaman newspapers, DeLorean. We head head very quickly to 1958, the front page of the Alaman Weekly Times from March 7th. Founded by James Brown, as was pointed out the other week.
Yeah,
not that one,
soul.
We don't think. It's Manxman's leading paper. Sam, it was a very sad week, actually, wasn't it? Because it was the week after the Winter Hill disaster.
Yeah, it was. It was, of course, that was 35 Manx lives were lost in the Winter Hill disaster on the snow-covered hill there by Bolton. And two of the seven survivors, a stewardess called Jennifer Curtis, who's the daughter of the vicar of Varbury, says here. And Norman Ennett, who I interviewed last year for the 60th anniversary, they were turned back to the island following the crash after a bit of time in hospital. It was when you read about it, it is remarkable like how much it did devastate the island at the time and the impact it had on, especially.
Well,
the
you can just see that by the front page, because as we say every week with these papers from the 50s, that every inch of the front page is covered with stories. And this week, I have to say, I'm struggling to find another story that isn't related to the Winter Hill crash. It shows you how big an impact it had on Manx life at that time. This is obviously after the aftermath of the crash, and it's them returning to Isle of Man. And one of the subheads is which is quite remarkable, really, is we would fly again.
When I spoke to Mr. Ed, I mean, he said about it here, says he remembers nothing. He said that throughout time, sort of thing, he came more to terms with it, and his memory sort of improved of what had happened at the time. But he said about he flew home just after the crash. He flew back to the island. I remember when I said to him, did that not bother you at all? And he just went, he made the comment, if you fall off a horse, you've got to get back on it, haven't you? And it's a remarkable attitude to it. I mean, you know, there's...
But there is, as I say, the front page of that is pretty, as you'd expect, is dedicated to this, the reaction to the funerals, the reaction to the plane the crash investigation. There's all sorts of stuff. Even, do you see the story in the top right-hand corner is about the BBC... laying on a special transmission of the service, memorial service from the UK, so the Isle of Man people can listen to that.
That memorial service is still going strong today as well. I mean, it was the 61st anniversary, so and they had quite a good turnout. And speaking to one of the members of the Douglas, I forgot what it's called now.
Rotary Club.
Yeah, that's it. He said that it's the new generations now that are coming in, so it's just continuing. And all the stories he said, they still bring tears to your eyes.
Yeah. It's very sad. But so that was the what dominated the front page in 1958. The only other story I could see was about Doug Lewis being returned in the town council elections in the Douglas Victoria Ward. The one thing that struck me about that was the amount of people that voted. Did you see that, Sam?
Yeah.
He got 784 votes to J.A. Kane's 565, which is over 1,000 people voting in a ward election in Douglas. You just wouldn't get that now, would you?
No, I mean, I did one recently which had a turnout of less than 20%. Mm. So it's actually underneath there. He became a grandfather.
Yes,
he became a grandfather, yeah. Right?
Aww. It was dubbed success. He had a telegram from London from his son saying that he was had another grandson, I think it was. So yeah, it was a good day for Doug Lewis that day. Nice picture. He reminds me of someone in that picture.
I know what you mean. Yeah. And it's been, ever since I printed off, I've been looking at it.
He reminds me of, I've forgotten his name. I know this is really bad, but you know the guy who wrote, who made Hairspray, the original one, right, with the little thin moustache?
Yeah, vaguely.
John Walters, Waters.
I think you've just
talked about
that.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but like the thin moustache.
Yeah, like pencil.
Yeah.
Pencil moustache.
He reminds me a little bit like he could have been like, I don't know, sort of a French president at some point.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like a very dignified and sort of refined man.
Yeah,
doesn't
yeah. But yes, so yes, that was the front page of the Isle of Man Weekly Times on March 7th, 1958. Katie, Manx word of the week. Now, we've had a lot of chat about last week's, wasn't it? Panag.
Panag.
Now, you've put in very capital letters on our podcast script. Not a Thai dish or breadstick or a croissant.
Yeah, I didn't actually put that in capital.
Was that
producer
that
Emma?
The angry, passive-aggressive nature of producer Emma.
Yeah, she really
didn't like the Thai reference.
No.
But so panag was the word, wasn't it?
Yeah, which means pancake.
Of course,
I said it was topical. I said it was
panag.
Topical.
Panag.
Panag.
Flipping your panag.
Flipping your panag. We should have got what the Manx for flipping was really for me. This week's word.
Again, very topical.
I'm not going to lie, Katie. It doesn't sound like you've tried very hard.
No.
This one's you've dialed in because you're going away in a couple of hours, isn't it? Go on, Sam. We usually start, finish with your Germanic overtones of this, but go on.
It's the first week I actually know what it is.
Do you know what it is?
I know what it is. It's Ben is the word.
Yeah.
But I know what it means, which is really... I never know what it means. So
don't spoiler it.
I'm not going to.
Okay. Go on,
Ben.
Jess?
Well... I have no idea.
No, you're trying to say it first.
Oh, okay. Ben.
Well done. She said it right, Katie.
Yeah. What do you think it means?
Like, I don't know, but I just, the first thing I think of is like the Ben McCree. So it must have...
Could that be a clue?
Do you not is know it, what that translates to?
I don't, I'm not Manx, I don't know.
Get out. That's twice now. You don't like pancakes and you know what Ben McCree means.
No,
who are you?
I'm a foreigner, okay?
I have to say, I don't know what Ben means either.
Okay.
So just to clarify, the Culture of Animal lads are going to tell us how we say it properly, are they?
Yep.
This is going to be a stretch for them week.
No, I do think there is actually, I think there's a silent D in there somewhere.
What?
Shut up. You're making that up.
I'm not. I remember from Manx class, it's got like a soft...
Look on Sam's face
now. Is it bend? No.
That's not silent then, is it?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Can we pronounce it?
No, but it's like, I'm sure it's something like
Ben. You've not spelled it right then.
Maybe she spelled
it. Is it a silent D like it's a silent P in swimming pool? Be waiting to make that joke for weeks.
This is absolutely, it's descending into chaos as always. So we'll draw a line under it. Culture Bannon, hit us with your rhythm stick.
Ben.
Right, we'll find out what Ben, possibly with a silent D, means next week.
And Ben McCree, I'll tell you what that means.
Oh, a double whammy.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited.
For the foreigner here.
Yes. Teach me your words.
Now, on our script, it says in orange here, do we want another Harry Owens B update, Jess? Now, I should apologise. Last week I had a Dr. Pepper before we recorded. And it's been made to my attention that I was a bit angry about the bees and the fact that Harry hadn't seen a bee in the first 4 days he was in Burundi.
You were really aggressive. I like bees, you know.
I didn't feel I was aggressive. I just thought, you know, he's gone all that way and they can't be bothered to bring the bees to him.
Well, maybe it's not that. Maybe they were... I mean, we need to speak to the guy, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
find out.
As well, maybe he just needed some time to acclimatise over there. It is a different...
Well, they
drums.
Did say they were a bit ill in one the of bees. The updates. No, not the bees. Harry. Harry.
Where was he? Oh,
Harry,
I'm sorry
and the,
about that.
But you have, company,
there
but...
has been an update in the paper of people who have been, you know, enthralled by this gripping soap opera that is Harry's trip to Burundi.
Yes.
So what paper was that in?
That should be in the Examiner.
Yeah. So if you want to find out about Harry, there was a picture of him beating
the
drum.
Yeah, it's a really cool photo. Yeah.
Getting down. It looks like he's off that stomp. Yeah. but Harry's in that.
But he's now down in the south of Burundi.
Right.
And he's been making beekeeping suits and he's been with carpenters. But apparently some of his equipment went missing. And I don't know what that's all about.
Oh, dear.
So
I tell you, this is it's the gift that keeps on giving, this trip, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
Okay, so you can watch Neighbours, and Jess can stick with Shortland Street, and I'll keep up to...
Day with Harry Owens.
Yeah.
And we just need to come up with a catchy soap name.
And theme music.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we can find some theme music. Yeah, soap opera. Well, that was the thing about Neighbours. Neighbours, Sonia's dying episode, they used commercial music for the first time ever. And it's Robbie Williams. and it was. And it was Entertain You. That was what they played in the car as they drove.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and there was something else. They played a boy band track as well, which I can't remember what it was.
Backstreet Boys as well.
Something like that. But, but it's worth a watch. After you've listened to this week's podcast, I recommend you go onto Channel 5 or All 5 or whatever it's called and stream it. There's probably an omnibus on at some point as well. Omnibuses, how good are they? Amazing.
I don't have that strange.
Sam has his head in his hands, so we should best wrap this up. Jess, much on this week? What's coming up next week? Sorry.
Oh, do you know what? I've just been so...
You've been off, haven't you?
Yeah, I've just been so engrossed in my own holiday. I haven't really...
Well, we'll move on swiftly. Katie, anything interesting happening in the world of distribution?
It's always interesting. Work's beginning on a behind the business feature, which is coming up soon, so there'll be more information on that when we get nearer to the date.
Exciting times.
It is.
Sab, you're off vox popping today. Oh, sorry, speaking to the...
Public opinions.
Yep.
With John Madrill,
the dream team.
How are you feeling about that, Sam?
Great.
He's really smartly dressed today as well.
He's dressed
up for
John,
the occasion.
John, not Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, going vox popping. But for the coming week, I've got a piece on Aaron Banks, the bad boy of Brexit.
Mm.
And more on the new Steam Packet user agreement.
Oh, lovely. And can you give us a sneak peek into your vox pop questioning? Or?
No, I think I'll save that for next week.
So that'll be in Tuesday's Examiner if you want to find out what Sam has been out with John Madrill, of course, and the Wallace and Gromit of Alaman newspapers to find out what they've been asking the people about this week. If you want to get in touch throughout the week, Katie, how can they do that?
You can get in touch with us on social media by using the handle at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and Twitter.
I believe Almost Live from Nigel is a hashtag. You can get in touch with us that way as well.
Okay,
like it.
Yeah.
More hashtags. Hashtag Almost Live from Nigel. Like it.
Yep.
Or you can download any of our publications from iomtoday.go.im and clicking on Andy's third favourite tab, Digital Edition.
Correct. Right, I think that's about it for this week, chaps.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say enjoyed it, but there you go, I'd be lying. Right, until next week.
Savage.
Bye for now.